your sorrows till you can't stand up. Take a look at what you've done to yourself. Why don't you put the bottle back on the shelf? Yellow finger from your cigarettes. Your hands are shaking while your body sweats. Why don't you look into Jesus? He got the answer. Now think back to when you were a child. Your soul was free, your heart ran wild. Each day was different and life was a thrill. You knew tomorrow would be better still. But things have changed, you're much older now. If you're unhappy and you don't know how, why don't you look into Jesus? He got the answer. Work all night, sleep all day. You take your money, throw it out.
That's right. Well, I started this series a couple weeks ago, and I had a Larry Norman song in there, and I thought, I just got to keep going with this. Just find some songs that fit my message and use them. So I apologize you don't like that kind of music, but it does take me back as well to years ago when Christian rock and roll began. So anyway, I picked this song because it does fit what I want to talk about today. It asks a question. Why don't you look to Jesus? That's a question I want us to think about. Like I said, 2 weeks ago, I began a series called Who is Jesus? And this is really the second in that series. And it's a pursuit that I'd like you to join me on. Who is Jesus? I'd like you to pursue him with me and figuring out, maybe for the first time, or maybe once again, you're reminded about who this man, Jesus, really is. I want to encourage you to dig in and discover the riches that we have in Christ. Now, everybody in the world is asking questions about life. People inside the church are asking questions. People outside the church. All of you have questions right now this morning. I know you do. There are things going on in your life that you're wondering, what should I do? Which decision should I make here? Where should I go? It'd be interesting just if you threw them out. What would those questions be? Maybe some of them you don't want to share with us. I don't know. But we all have questions. I mean, they would probably run the gamut. Parenting, dating, sex, work, marriage, retirement, purpose in life. I mean, they're the whole spectrum of questions that are right here with us right now, and you're trying to bring this in and say, what do I do here? I'm wondering, where do you go? Where do you go when you have questions? Where do you go? What do you look at? Who do you ask? Somebody came to me this week and said, Rob, tell me what I'm supposed to do next here. What do I do with that? How do I answer that question? This person was working through some issues in their life. They have been for some time. They're struggling with it. What do I do? How do I get past this? It's a question that they had. It's a question that we have. Where do you point them to? What advice do you give them? Where do you look yourself for answers to the questions of life? Now, some time ago, someone presented a new product to me. I wondered if I would be interested in it. And in the process of examining this product and the organization, Doris and I listened to a CD that they had. And it was a CD of a pastor who was talking about this product. And we were traveling in the van as we listened to this. And as we listened to him speak, I just started to get a little bit uneasy. The man was a very good communicator, really a good preacher. I could learn some things from how he delivered his message, how he spoke. He's very dynamic, very convincing. He was very excited about what he was preaching. But I, on the other hand, was becoming increasingly uncomfortable with his presentation. And maybe I was overreacting, but I alternated between anger and disbelief and sadness and even this sick feeling in my stomach as I listened to this man, quote, preach. He said, this product is going to fix your marriage. This product is going to bring your families together. It's going to make your life awesome. He said, you know, the guy who developed this product, he's an awesome guy. You won't believe him. He's just incredible. He's so smart. Put this thing together. If you join in with us in this, your life is going to be transformed. Amazing. You won't believe what will happen to you. I didn't know what to do with that. And all through that, he was saying, and I'm a pastor. Throw that in every so often. I'm a pastor. So? What does that have to do with what you're talking about? He wasn't preaching about the gospel. He's talking about this product. I'm a pastor. Now, I have nothing against this product, but I tell you what, I haven't heard such idiotic nonsense in a long time. I haven't. It made me sick. The reality is that the world is looking for answers. Whether they know it or not, they're all looking for answers. Answers to life, answers to their problems. And there are answers out there. There's all kinds of people offering answers to people's problems. And people are grasping for that. They're looking for that. Give me an answer. How do I get through this? How do I solve these problems in my life? People are desperate for it. And they're latching on to anything that will give them a glimmer of hope. And I don't blame them. We're all looking for answers. Who doesn't want to see their life changed? Who wants to believe that this is all there is? And so we're all looking. We're all looking. Looking for love. Looking for fulfillment. Looking for adventure. Looking for security. For achievement. We're all looking. Looking for friends. And I'm wondering, what are you looking for? You look at your life this morning. What is it that you're looking for? What do you hope to find? It brings me back to this song. Why don't you look into Jesus? The text I would like to use today is found in Luke chapter 4. And so if you would turn there with me, we're going to begin with verse 14. And it is the story of Jesus returning to his hometown of Nazareth. And this is at the beginning of his ministry, Luke chapter 4. Now, Todd and Deanne Miller had the opportunity to actually visit in Nazareth a couple months ago. We have some people here this morning that are probably going to see Nazareth sometime this year, maybe, I don't know. But I got a picture from them. This is a picture of the synagogue in Nazareth that is built on the very location of the original synagogue where Jesus would have spoke these words. And Deanne said, I couldn't point it out, but that is her standing there up towards the front in that blue jacket. So anyway, it's Deanne. But this is a synagogue where these words were spoken. So follow along with me as we read here. Luke chapter 4, beginning, we're going to read verse 14 and 15 to start with. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Now, Jesus is beginning his ministry here, and the countryside is starting to buzz with excitement about him. Now, even without texting, without Twitter, without Facebook, YouTube, somehow this news is spreading rapidly. I don't know how. I'm sure it would spread a lot quicker nowadays. You see how news just takes off with all the ways that we have to communicate. But this news was spreading over the land about this man called Jesus. And the people were wondering, who is this? What's happening? There was some excitement, some buzz going on. And he went from synagogue to synagogue. Really, as we would think of it, as church to church. It appears that everyone has good things to say about him. What was Jesus doing? Well, it doesn't say exactly here, but we know that wherever he went, he was teaching. He was preaching. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. He did this wherever he went. And then Jesus comes to his hometown of Nazareth. So let's continue on. Please follow along with me, picking up at verse 16. It says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. I'm going to stop there for a moment. The people of Nazareth had heard about Jesus. Well, and they knew him. I mean, he grew up in their town, right? Played with their kids. Some of them were probably his peers that were in attendance here at this synagogue. These people knew him. He had been gone for a time. And they were hearing stories, though, about him. Things that he was doing around the countryside. And they wondered, what's going on? Is this the Jesus that we grew up with? Who is he? But there was some anticipation there. When Jesus had the opportunity to speak, which was common for visiting rabbis or teachers, it says that everybody was watching, waiting to see what was going to happen. And yet, the reaction to what Jesus has to say seems somewhat subdued to me, a bit anticlimactic. Jesus makes this amazing claim, and it appears to go right over their heads, it seems to me. They don't respond to it, at least there's no words recorded here, of this claim that Jesus makes. It makes me wonder. He claims to be the fulfillment of prophecy, to be the Messiah that they have been anticipating for hundreds of years. The ultimate answer, really, to their problems, right? Here he was. What a tremendous revelation. What if you and I had been sitting there? Think about it. What would that have been like for Jesus to come and make that proclamation? What if we had grown up with him? And he came back to hometown and said, I'm the Messiah. This prophecy here is fulfilled in your hearing. How would you respond to that? Seems a bit anticlimactic, this tremendous revelation. And it says, yeah, they were amazed by his gracious words, but it seems to me like they ignore his claim. And they're asking questions like, isn't this Joseph's son? Right? This is Joseph's son, right? The son of the carpenter, right? Well, why didn't they get it? That wouldn't be too hard on them either. I'm not sure that you and I would have got it either. I mean, we have the same questions today. Don't kid yourself. We have the same questions. Why didn't they get it? We see all through the Bible there are examples of people who didn't get it when they met Jesus. They missed it. They didn't get it. All through history, we see examples of people who they just didn't get it. They missed it somehow. They didn't understand it, who Jesus was. What if he came to LCF today? Yeah, I had that question just as I was looking at this, it came to mind. What if he just walked in the door today and sat down? And if we gave him an opportunity, or during sharing time, he stood up to speak and he shared who he was. Would we get it? In reality, doesn't that happen all the time in churches all around the country? There's a proclamation of who Jesus is, an expectation of response. Do we get it? What do we do with that? We just walk away from it, or do we do something with that? So be careful how you might judge them. It seems to me that it was the religious establishment that often seemed to have a difficult time grasping who Jesus was and recognizing him. Well, what is going on with these people? What's the problem? Why didn't they get it? Let's continue on in this story. Pick up with me here at verse 23. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet, Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. And all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. And they got up and they drove him out of town. They took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Jesus knows their hearts. And he speaks very pointedly, very directly, very boldly, and unflinchingly into their hearts. He reads them like a book. And he calls them out. It seems that they were suspicious before he even got there about these stories about Jesus. They had some, seems like, a predisposition of doubt and unbelief. You see, they had watched Jesus grow up like everyone else. As a child, teenager, Like I said, some of them were probably his peers, his teenage buddies. They knew who he was, right? He was Joseph's son, son of an ordinary carpenter. He was one of them, like them, right? It was going to take some real convincing for them to believe that he was any different. They thought they knew Jesus. They thought they knew who he was. And they weren't ready to let Jesus break through and really update their understanding about the truth of who he was, the reality of who he was. Maybe you think you would have responded differently. But have you really? Some of us, I think, I don't know if this is a good parallel, but I think maybe, some of us have grown up with Jesus from childhood. We've heard a lot about him. We've heard a lot of stories, Bible stories that have been read. In fact, we have a lot of familiar memories of Jesus. This next slide here, some of these things I remember from childhood, these pictures. And there were good ways for me to think of Jesus back then. But I wonder sometimes we don't get stuck somewhere in here or along the way. Like, well, this is who Jesus is. I know who he is. I got that down. No big deal. Do you believe he is the Messiah? Or is he simply the son of an ordinary carpenter? Do you really believe his outrageous claims? They were, and they are, outrageous. There's really no middle ground with who he claims to be and all that he claims to be. There's no middle ground there. Say, well, that could be true, maybe, I don't know. There's no middle ground. He's calling us out. He wants you to decide. He called them out. He said, no, I'm not gonna go where you want me to go. I'm not just going to do some little miracles for you so that we can satisfy your curiosity or fit in the box that you want me to fit in. I'm not going to do that. That's not who I am. I'm so much bigger than that. I'm not even going to satisfy that for you. I'm not going to go there. Do you believe he's the Messiah? And I have to ask myself that question. If I really believe that, then why is it sometimes that I don't look to him for answers? Why am I looking other places for solutions? Why am I so tied up with these things in life? Preoccupied. If I really believe that he is who he says he is, things would be different in a lot of ways. Remember who he is. We talked 2 weeks ago about one phrase. He's living water. He calls himself the living water. Refreshing, cool, clean, vibrant, living water, as opposed to the dirty, stagnant cistern water of the world that we like to play around in. But no, he's the living water. But what has Jesus come to do? What does he have to offer? Who is he, this Messiah? Who is he? Well, let's jump back and look at verse 18. Says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Jesus comes to proclaim good news. For those who are looking for answers, he is our hope. For those who recognize that they are destitute, he is good news. We've talked about this often. But I wonder, do you really believe that he is good news? Maybe that seems like a silly question. Not just good news, but the good news. Someone told me this week, we were talking about outreach. They said, you know, I have trouble witnessing sometimes because I feel like I wouldn't be like real, true, because I'm not sure to me that this is good news. I mean, they're being real honest. I mean, if you're not sure this is good news, yeah, be very, why would you tell that to anybody? Why would you want to? Other than maybe guilt, I suppose, could be a motivation for you to do that. But yeah, is it good news to us? Do we believe that Jesus is the good news, that he comes to proclaim a good news? Do you believe that? He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Jesus comes to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Does anybody out there ever feel trapped? You ever feel confined? I don't know about you, but I don't like that feeling. I have a bit of claustrophobia, but I also like a little bit of adventure. And I remember we would find these little caves and places and try and climb through. And I just remember being in some of those places and just suddenly having an overwhelming fear that I was not going to get out, or that this thing was going to cave in on me, you know, just at this moment in time. It's always a possibility, you know, that that could happen. But have you ever felt trapped? And maybe there's some of you this morning here, you feel like you're stuck, like you're closed in, that maybe life is pushing in on you. I don't know what part of your life that's just, it's got you in a vice, and it's just, somebody's just cranking it down. You ever feel that way? Well, guess what? Jesus came to set you free from that. He did. He came to set you free from whatever that thing is that you feel trapped by, whatever that box is that you're hemmed in. He came to set you free from that. He came to break down walls in relationships. He came to set us free from sexual temptation. To break the chains of bitterness and anger. He came to deliver us from our insidious pride and selfishness that we can't seem to get under control. Jesus came to set us free from all that stuff. That is good news, isn't it? It's great news for me. Wonderful news. This is what he has come to do, to set us free. And recovery of sight for the blind. We know that he offered sight to the physically blind, but also to the spiritually blind. I don't think this isn't just talking about those who are blind physically, but we know that he gave sight to them. Can you understand the joy of physical sight? I received a new understanding of this as I participated on the I-team in Nicaragua this several months ago. It was amazing to watch, you know, as people who hadn't seen for years, their cataracts would be removed, and the next morning we'd take those bandages off. And they could see again. It's just amazing to watch them. Their faces light up as they realized this whole world had opened back up to them again to have sight. And how much greater to have spiritual sight. Wow. To understand what this world is about, to be able to sort through and make decisions, because we can distinguish what is the wrong direction and what is the right direction. Wow. Spiritual sight. What an awesome thing. And Jesus offers this recovery of sight. He points out to us what is really important in this life. He guides us past the spiritual pitfalls that are in front of us. He opens our eyes to spiritual truth. He helps us unmask the angel of light who tries to trick us into certain directions and doing different things. Jesus offers that to us. Recovery of sight. Real answers. Real solutions. Release for the oppressed. To release the oppressed. Jesus came to release those who are getting beaten down. Those who are being unfairly treated. Those who are being persecuted, ridiculed, mocked. And I don't know, maybe you feel like in your life that things just haven't been fair in some ways. God, this isn't fair. I know I'm not the only one that has said that. We say that. God, this isn't fair. This situation is not fair. We look at the world and we see all kinds of situations. We say, you know what? That's just awful. It's not fair. We wonder, I think, don't we? We wonder. Does God really come? Does Jesus really come to free the oppressed, to release them? Do you believe this is who He is? Do you believe He is doing this? Do you believe that ultimately His justice will prevail? He comes to release the oppressed. And He comes to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor. I love this story. This is an allusion to the year of Jubilee. And if you're familiar with the year of Jubilee, Doris, do you have a tissue? I could use a tissue if you have one. If you're familiar with the year of Jubilee, it's when all debts are canceled. So I don't, anybody have any debt this morning? Anybody? Raise your hand. Anybody in debt? A few of you are honest. But yeah, I think we know what debt is, right? The year of Jubilee was when all debts were canceled, erased. Slaves were freed, and the land and the people were given a rest. I thought, that would be awesome. They took the year off. What would that be like? You know, no more work that year. What would you do with your time? Just have a year off. But this is an allusion to that time in the Old Testament, the year of Jubilee. And Jesus says, I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. For you, for us. Sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds awesome to me. The year of the Lord's favor. He is the good news, isn't He? He's come to set us free. He's come to open our eyes, to protect us and free us from our enemies, to cancel our debts, and to give us rest from the heavy burdens that we carry. That's who Jesus is. And that is awesome news, isn't it? Awesome news. So I come back to the question, do you believe? Where is your faith? Is this the kind of Jesus that you know? And if so, I wonder, why don't you look into Jesus? He really does have the answers. He really does. Well, this story has a tragic conclusion to it. The people really weren't looking for a Messiah. They weren't looking to believe. They weren't looking to trust. This person that they had grown up with, he was still just Joseph's son to them. They heard some stories, but boy, you better jump through some hoops for me to believe all that. Show me some stuff and maybe I'll believe. And I don't know, I think we've all said that, haven't we? Show me some stuff. Yeah, then I'll go. Give me something to go on here, you know? I'll believe if you just do what I want you to do. You answer my prayer the way I want it to be answered, and yeah, then I'll believe. But Jesus isn't messing with that. No, he calls them out on that. He said, I'm not going there. We're not going to play that game. This is who I am. Take it or leave it. Well, I don't mean to portray Jesus as one who turns his back on us. He's seeking us out. I've experienced it over and over again, his seeking me out. But I think we ought to be careful. I think we ought to be careful. Because look at what happened at the end of this story. He left. Right? They got mad at him. They didn't want to hear what he was saying. They didn't want to hear how he spoke into their heart. They got mad at him. And they tried to kill him. Right there. And he left. All of those answers, all of those solutions, the Messiah. Here he is, standing in their midst, talking to them. And there he goes. Now, there's other stories where he went back to Nazareth, but they're similar stories. I don't think they're the same ones. He couldn't do much there because of their lack of faith. He couldn't do many miracles. He left. They missed out. Imagine what could have happened if they had only believed. This amazing proclamation, if they would have accepted that and believed it, what could have happened in that place? I think they missed out on a tremendous blessing. It's exciting to see all that Jesus has to offer, but it is very sobering and startling to see it rejected. And I want to leave you with a couple thoughts. Jesus wants to break out of the box that you put him in. He wants you to understand more completely who he is and what he has come to do in your life, in your family, in your world. He wants you to believe that. He doesn't want you running after a product for the answers to life's problems or any other thing in life. It's a dirty cistern. He wants to break out of that box that you put him in. And I want to encourage you, don't make him jump through a bunch of hoops before you believe. That's not what faith is. Step out in faith and accept this scripture as truth. Jesus is patient with us. He gives us many opportunities. But I warn you, when he speaks, you need to respond. He lays it out there. He calls you out. When he speaks, we need to respond to it. Because I'm convinced he leaves us alone for a while if we reject him. He walks away. Because you missed out. He comes back to us again, but we missed out on something when we don't respond to what he's telling us about himself, who he is. He will not pressure you. He won't insist. But he will walk. And he's simply asking you this morning to come to him. And so I leave you with the question we started with. Why don't you look into Jesus? He really does have the answers. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your patience with us. You have tremendous patience, and you do keep coming to us and showing yourself to us. You're wanting us to come to you for all the issues that we face in life. You're wanting us to come to you and not be running after other solutions out there that look appealing. And I don't know where each of us is at this morning. You do. I pray that as you show yourself to us, that we would have the guts to respond. That we just wouldn't look the other way and say, oh, well, it's just Joseph's son. No. It's not. Or even get angry and reject his prompting, his prodding. No, I pray that we would respond in faith, believing in all that you are, all that you have to offer to us, that we might experience that richness, that freedom, that amazing sight, the rest that you offer to us from the burdens that we carry. It's all there for us to access if we would only believe in who you are. Help us to believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.